This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
All right, here we go on a Friday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you for the next 4 hours before we head into what should be a very, very nice weekend, a huge weekend for coming to town. We'll get into this series for a series that is at the end of May, soon to be June 1st. This is a big one, man.
Probably the biggest one of the year, honestly.
To this point, it absolutely has to be, considering not only where the Tigers are, first and foremost, the best team in baseball record-wise, but also for those, understandably so, looking at, hey, how they have performed, they being the Royals, against, you know, top-notch competition versus beating up on lesser opponents like they did last year. This would be one that I think could give some renewed faith to some fans if they go out against a, not just a winning team, but again, one of the best teams, if not the best team in baseball right now.
I think the best team in baseball, but yeah, certainly
if they can get it done, if you can win a series. So we're going to get into that throughout the show today. It's also a fan club Friday in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll have a new individual we've never had on this show. Join us. Someone that's fairly new to Kansas City too. So I'm excited for all of us kind of to learn more about Matt Foster. He's a sports reporter over at 41. Drew's excited. Drew even wore a shirt just for you, Matt, just so you know.
Yeah, shout out to Matt. He's a UW alum. Let's go.
Drew wore one of his many college shirts.
Does anyone call Wisconsin UW?
Yeah, I think so. I think that happens.
It's more of a Washington thing, but I mean, it is. It's more Wisco or
if you
whiskey,
say UW, I definitely don't think Wisconsin first, but I can understand.
It's more whiskey or Wisco is what they call Wisconsin. Also,
so then why did you call it UW?
Go Badgers.
So he's wearing
Matt are going to have a great
he's
time.
He's completely
clock.
Unnecessary.
This is the Badger talk, you know?
Look, Madison, the college town itself, fun time. Very fun city. Very fun college town.
It's like the number one
town.
Party school in the country, yeah. I think. So, in the top five voted.
We'll get to know Matt a little bit. He was also just in Omaha. Matt Foster was. He was in Omaha for Cags' AAA debut in Omaha and had a chance to catch up with him. So we'll kind of get his feel and the vibe in Omaha and maybe the attention and hype around Cags there as well. So we'll do that. And in about 30 minutes, Jake Eisenberg, Royals announcer. You guys hear him all the time right here on 96.5 The Fan. He will join us. I also saw him last night at an event for Dayton Moore, and I'm about to get roasted in about 28 minutes from one Jake Eisenberg, I'm sure. So can't wait for that. Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm intrigued now.
Yeah. I'll leave it at that.
They saw each other last night. Must have been,
Yep.
You know,
I told him that I would tease it, and then he's going to have to bring it up. I'm not gonna prompt him. He's gonna. Okay. I'm gonna simply tell him, "Hey,
it
man, it was
like
good.
You did something
good.
That you're gonna regret."
No. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll leave it for the tease.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yes, I did. I did something I'm gonna regret for the rest of my life. Find out what it is in 28 minutes.
Gold fell into the netting at Topgolf. Just laid there.
That would be a hell of a story. I can tell you that was not it. Could you imagine?
Oh, somebody would have already taken a photo and sent it to me if that's how the story went.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's talk about the series first, and then specifically a player in the series that obviously could have a massive impact. Without question, in my opinion, this is the single biggest series of the year so far. I don't think that's hyperbole or crazy or out of this world. It makes a lot of sense that the team who's in first place in your division, who sits six or seven full games ahead of you in the standings, and you get them in your building, tends to be a bit of a big series across the board. More importantly, it's what it says about you, in my opinion. You have most of your starters back. I get it. Maybe Reagan's not for this weekend. Okay. But you'll get Lugo this weekend. Your lineup is what it is. This is the best team in the American League, in my opinion, better than the Yankees and others. And you're going to have to duel it out all weekend long. Casey Mize, who's been great, is pitching tonight against Lugo, right? You're going to have to go through this every time. I think it says a little bit something about their mettle. And I think that this is something I've given them compliments for this year. It says something a little bit about their fortitude to hang in there and win a series against Detroit this weekend, even though I don't think they're better than Detroit right now. So, winning
Detroit's
a series against a team better than them.
Detroit is a fully complete team. That's why they're the best team in baseball right now. And their success has been carried over since really, middle of August last year. They have been
probably the best. I imagine they have the best record in baseball since August 1st.
Exactly. That's what I was alluding to. 100%. I mean, they're the best team in baseball right this second, but it really goes back to August. And so they've been doing this now for, what is that, 4 months, 4.5 months? That's what's really impressive. We know they've got a manager that has experience in the postseason. I understand what happened in Houston, but still, the guy also won there, and he's winning now in Detroit. And they're a complete team. And so this is a heck of a challenge for the Royals. It sets up for a great opportunity, though, to go ahead and find yourself in second place by Monday. You could be in second place in the division, for those of you that are standings watching.
Feeling good, because you got the Tigers for two of those three.
And, you know, you would still be doing that with Cole Reagans on the IL. Seth Lugo is maybe going to pitch Saturday.
Jack
looks
Caglione
like.
In AAA, not at the big league level.
And where we all would recognize, hey, the offense is still not where it needs to be. That's why this weekend would be massive. Now, on the flip side, you know, the disaster is you get swept. All of a sudden, you know, you're one game above 500. It's another winning team.
I'd be ready to declare the division dead, almost.
I wouldn't
maybe
go that far
dead,
on June 1st, but
I'd put it in a 95%. You'd be on life support.
Yeah, so look.
The division would be at hospice. I mean,
understand.
It would not be looking good, dude.
I understand, and I think a majority of fans would probably be with you on that. I don't think on June 1st, unless I'm the Colorado Rockies, I can actually
only
say
a sweep, not like a loss of the series.
I don't think you can say if you're still above 500 on June 1st that the division is over. But I hear you. I totally think a lot of people would have that same thought. It is a huge weekend though, and a chance for the Royals to get a series win against a really, really good quality baseball team. And, you know, the weather is shaping up nice. Moose is getting his jersey retired, his number retired,
yeah,
I should say,
cool.
On Saturday. It could be a pretty fun weekend at a Kauffman Stadium.
No, I think, look, it's a big, it is, again, a big series, as you previously pointed out. But I also expect massive crowds and good, a big scene this weekend. And I've told you, for as many, and I'm not even trying to pretend like, the Royals have actual problems, right? Like, they can't hit to this point unless something's going to dramatically change and all these guys are going to start turning their seasons around offensively. They're going to probably need some resources here in the next 30 days in order to come around offensively. So I'm not trying to pretend like there aren't questions about whether or not that's an issue. But what I will say is they fight like a team that knows how to win. And this feels like the kind of series where you can at least say, see, look, we can still hang. Like, we're not telling we're winning the division yet. We're not telling you all our problems are solved. But take 2 or 3 against Kauffman this weekend, and I'm going to feel, not infinitely, but I'm definitely going to be feeling stronger about the positioning the Royals are putting themselves in. And because, again, they got Casey Mize tonight, Scoople tomorrow against Walker, and you're like, whoo!
You know what?
So it's not even like, I mean, though, for a team that's not hitting, I mean, look, they've actually done better against Skubal than anyone else in baseball.
Well, against him, and Skubal is a Cy Young favorite right now. He won the Cy Young last year. I was just going to say, yeah, not only the track record, Cody, that you were alluding to that they've had against him, I was just going to say, so far this year for an offense that struggled, I can think of three instances where they have gone up against a really, really good pitcher, and they've actually somehow had some of their better offense performances and won those games. Logan Webb for the Giants. That was when they went out and put, what was it, 8-plus runs on the board?
Yeah.
And Logan Webb. Just this week, Hunter Green, really good pitcher.
When they were getting ready to lose the series. Yeah.
They've actually, it's weird, against guys that are clearly some of the better pitchers in baseball, those have been the outliers where they've actually had decent days offensively. It makes no sense.
Over the last 2 years, a year in which he won the Cy Young, and as you pointed out, is currently the favorite to win the Cy Young again, they have a better than, or I'm sorry, Tarek Skubal's got an ERA above 4 against them over the last 2 years. And you're like, what? He won the Cy Young, and this has not been like a world-beating offense the last 2 years. No, they're just better against Skubal than anything else, maybe because they see him. Maybe it's just style makes fights. Some version of them actually gets to the guy. And then they have the massive pitching advantage on Sunday because they're rolling out their fifth starter, the Tigers, and the Royals are rolling out a current, probably AL pitcher of the month in Chris Bubich, because technically Sunday will be June, which means his May's wrapped up. And
yeah, it's already over. Yeah.
His numbers for May were quite good. And so there's a pretty good chance he's the American League pitcher of the month, and you got him going. It just feels like, I like series like this early, Gold, because you can't recreate, baseball's so long, you can't recreate that feeling of playing in those August, September, October series a lot of times until you really get there. But because of where the Royals have been in this battle back and forth for a huge chunk of this time, this series feels like a chance to make a little bit of a statement of, we're not going to go down without a fight this year. We still have all these pieces in place. We can still pitch. Highlight the things you're great at.
Yeah, can they be the one team, really, though, so far, in the last couple of weeks, so that can really kind of shut down the Tigers at all? I mean, they have been unstoppable to this point in time. And so can the Royals do that?
Can anyone slow them down?
I mean,
yeah.
This has not just been because the Royals are chasing. I mean, nobody else, whether it's in the division or elsewhere. I mean, the Tigers have been the best team in baseball. I will say today, like, yeah, they're slight dogs. The Royals are even money to win tonight. Casey Mize, as you said, going for the Tigers, they're minus 120. The Royals will be dogs heading all the way in until Sunday in each one of these games. But that in baseball, honestly, it's just not the same as a football game. If someone's a 7-point underdog in baseball, if you're an underdog, like, there's 162 games, we've gone over this, you could win 110 games, you're still going to get beat 52 times. So just because they're dogs tonight really doesn't
mean
a
whole
lot.
Being like a massive underdog in baseball is like when the winning team is minus 200. That's how close
I can give you an example. Let me see if the Rockies are playing somebody. Yes, they are. That's usually how I go to if you're looking for a massive money line differential. Let's see.
You want to bet on the Rockies to win
plus tonight? Plus 270 tonight. There's
That's it? Just two and a half to one, essentially?
The Mets are minus 335 against them.
They're saying it's...
You have to bet $335 to win $100 for the Mets tonight if they win. You could bet $100 and win $270 if you think the Rockies, who still have, what, 9 wins, 10 wins?
But they're
like
still telling you that there's still a better chance the Rockies win this game tonight than Salvador Perez has 2 hits, probably, or Bobby Wood Jr. has a home run. Like, those are the similar odds they're giving you. So they're still telling you, I don't know, it's not that crazy in their mind.
Salvi's plus 210 to get a hit, 2 hits tonight.
Yeah, so it's like they're telling you that.
Which
those
one
are,
would you rather bet? Salvi to get 2 hits tonight, or the Rockies to win a game?
Salvi's a bit cold.
The Rockies to win? You have to choose Salvi still.
Does Salvi have more than 8 2-hit games this year? That's really the question I'm asking myself, right?
I mean, call me crazy. Some people might say, no, you got to take the Rockies. But the Rockies have 9 wins all year, okay? Like, you're not finding.
But does Salvi have 9 2-hit games? That's what they're essentially weighing against each other.
The Rockies have a track record of sucking. Salvador Perez might be a future Hall of Famer. I'll still bank that he can get into one for a game or two, you know?
Yeah. It does feel like better, like, on the day odds versus just like, yeah, I was giving you the numbers. He's had 11 multi-hit games this year, Salvador Perez. So that's why he has better odds than the Rockies to win a game.
The Rockies stink.
Mm,
I mean, you thought the White Sox last year were doing something historical. They did. The Rockies are going to give them a strong run for their money. A strong run for their money.
The other interesting part about this weekend to me is what I think has become right now the local perception that happened to Mahomes and I think is currently happening to Bobby Wood Jr., which is, hey, you're not doing enough. Where's that Bobby Wood Jr. I remember from last year? And I'm like, are you guys nuts? Let me just put into perspective, not to mention he is a top 10 WAR player in all of baseball and currently still has the second best odds to win MVP, even if he's way off of Aaron Judge is going to win it.
Minus 8,000.
In any 8, universe.
Yes, it's a real thing. Yes. Aaron Judge is minus 8,000. It's over. Unless he gets hurt, it's over.
In any universe, a guy hitting a 2.7 WAR player, leading the league in doubles, hitting 290 with a 350 on base and an 829 OPS at shortstop, you would be over the moon for. But because that's 40 points off his average last year, 30 points off his on-base percentage last year, and 150 points off his OPS, we're going to pretend like he's not having a good season. He's having a tremendous season. It's just not the season he had last year where he led the league in hits, had 32 home runs, had 110 RBI, and I still think there's time for all of those things in Bobby Wood Jr.'s season this year. I think it's the home run numbers that are throwing
people
off.
Yeah, the power numbers are down. I say power numbers down. He's got, as you mentioned, leading the league in doubles, but the home runs are down. But we also know Bobby Wood Jr. is very much capable of having a 2 or 3 week stretch where he is just on fire. When is that going to happen? Maybe it starts this weekend.
Tonight,
hopefully.
I hope.
Maybe it's in the middle of July. I don't know, but he's going to have a 2 or 3 week stretch where he is the best player in baseball. And no, and you don't want to pitch to him. But the problem is, thinking of that, how fearful are you right now of the rest of the lineup? You're not. So why are you giving Bobby Wood Jr. anything to hit? And you're not. And so I think his job is also much tougher right now this year than what it was a year ago because of the way some guys have been hitting around him. But Bobby Wood, I think, has, what did you say, 20 stolen bases? I think he's got 20. So he's on pace for 57, and he's leading the league in doubles. And he's pacing the same for walks. Let's act like the idea that he's having a down year is hilarious. It really is. The home run numbers would be the only thing you could point to, but he also has
doubles.
But he's
also leading the league in doubles. Yeah. So, I don't know. If he only hits,
he's going to get hot for 3 weeks and everybody's going to shut up about this.
If he only hit, dead serious, if he only hit 22 home runs this year instead of the 31 he hit last year or the, 32 last year and 30 the year before, but he led the league in doubles. What do I care? I'll be honest. Well, at that point,
I mean,
good enough. Yeah, I would rather have a home run than a double, but it's just, can Bobby Wood Jr. hit with power? That's the only question I'm asking, and the answer to that is currently yes, because he is hitting with power. It's just weird because, I think he suffers from the Patrick Mahomes thing, which is a good problem
to
have.
The bar is so freaking high once you do what he did.
330 last year, dude, 30 home runs, and was, just short of being the best player on the planet, according to MVP voters. And so people are looking at it and they're like, whoa, a little disappointing, and you're like, I'm sure he would tell you he wishes he could play better because he probably has a standard for himself that he should be hitting 500 in the league. But there is no way to not look at his season and be like, my God, he's a freak of nature.
Where he's pacing is still great, but I'm just saying, I think we saw this happen last year and with some of the great, great players in the game. They can get hot for 2 or 3 weeks, and all of a sudden, the numbers just start to look absurd, absurd again. Yeah. And that's the difference. You're right. His numbers are really good. People want them to be absurd numbers, and the numbers aren't absurd. I think that's the bar we're at now. They're not absurd enough. That I think is where it's at. And then look, we all know this. When you're the leader of a team, and clearly he is the face of the franchise now, him and Salvi. But from a hitting perspective, at this stage of their career, it is Bobby Wood Jr. The guy was second in MVP voting. Just like Mahomes, when things don't go well offensively, people will point to Andy Reid and Mahomes. In baseball, you don't really point to the manager necessarily when it comes to this kind of stuff. You point to the star player. And even though Bobby's performing, when the offense is ranked where they're at, even if he is doing his end of the bargain, you are going to be somebody that people focus and dissect even more. And that's just the reality of being the superstar that you are. Nobody should be worried about Bobby Wood Jr.
And
I think the numbers are going to get back to being really crazy, too, when he gets hot for about 2 or 3 weeks coming up.
Yeah, that's literally all it will take. Here are the five players who have a better WAR than Bobby Witt Jr. this year and this season. Because you got to remember, the stolen bases and the defense and all those things matter for being a superstar, too. He does everything great, not just one thing great. Aaron Judge is number one, not surprising. Cal Raleigh, who is having a ridiculous season, is number two. Pete Crow Armstrong, Shohei Ohtani,
heard of him,
and then Bobby Witt Jr. Those are the only four players who have done a better job in team total WAR for their team this year. So, it's going fine. If you have any concerns over Bobby, I would just tell you, don't.
913-586-7965. That's the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Of course, you can watch the show as well on the video stream. Despite what it might say, this is not The Drive with Carrington Harrison. I can assure you this is Cody and Gold.
Is it still saying that? I've updated
one quick glance at the video, you can quickly tell this is not The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
I mean,
his show gets mentioned on the stream more than any other show. I don't know why it gets stuck on The Drive with Carrington. I don't know why this happens.
I don't know where the technical issue relates to that is.
But it,
and I refuse to figure it out, you know? Yeah.
I think it has been partially resolved now from what I can see on that one. Yep. All right. We're back. We're back, baby, on a Friday. Feeling good.
Yeah, clearly you guys are Cody and Gold.
Clearly. Clearly. What gave it away?
I mean, Carrington, one, we're two people, not one.
That's true.
Your yellow banana shirt, Gold, also very much so stands out on the stream.
Yeah, I decided to, you know what? I told you guys on Monday that I had a great time this past weekend, took the nephew to Savannah Bananas, sell it at the K, and I said, hey, I got to get a shirt. Got to get a shirt. And I figured they had a bunch of different ones, but I figured I had to get the yellow one. Like, they had some toned down ones, like a white shirt that just said, like, World Tour Bananas. I'm like, no, I feel like I got to get the classic yellow, you know, bright shirt. I don't have many of these, you know. Savannah Bananas. Shout out to them.
I don't know if I own a yellow shirt.
I don't own many.
Not one?
I don't own many. I also don't, you know, I'm not a Missouri guy, so I don't get into the yellow, goldish, you know, color scheme that often.
You skip those.
Yeah. I got a little more blue and
but
red.
But the Chiefs have a lot of yellow.
Yeah, but not a lot of yellow.
I mean, they have yellow.
But not, like, it's not a primary color,
it's not
really.
They're selling like yellow Chiefs shirts.
I mean, if they finally make their City Connect version of the NFL jerseys for years now, and it's all yellow, I'm going to bury them for looking like a school bus, a taxi cab, whatever you need, whatever joke needs to mustard, whatever joke needs to fly off the board. Do not go primary yellow unless you're a team like the Savannah Bananas and you're here to entertain.
Yeah. No, it works. I mean, as I said, they did a great job with everything they tied in. I mean, their charity even, which is for a great cause, it's for foster families and foster children, but it's called Banana Foster. I mean, come on. Everything's perfect. Everything's smart. Perfect with what they do.
You ever had Bananas Foster?
I haven't. Have you? I'm sure you have.
They serve that at Webster House, yeah.
What? I'm sorry?
One of the desserts.
Oh, is that fancy?
Oh, if I had a Banana Foster?
I don't know.
Foster,
I guess it is.
I have not.
When's the last time you even had a Banana Split? Their mascot's called Split.
Been a long time.
Been a while. I do like banana-flavored ice cream. Banana-flavored things are better than actual bananas themselves. Like, there's certain things
like
where the
artificial
fruit is,
flavor.
Are you talking like banana Laffy Taffy? What a monstrous
taste. Banana Laffy
Taffy
is awful.
Yeah, what? Miserable taffy.
That artificial.
Artificial banana's miserable. Yeah,
I like banana. Like, I'll have a banana yogurt or like a actual banana, but the artificial flavor of the banana, for whatever reason, the Laffy Taffy is not good. Yeah.
Bananas are good, but I think the artificial flavor of bananas are very. The banana Laffy Taffy might be the best one.
Bro, what? What?
The best Laffy Taffy?
The green Laffy Taffy
might be
also.
We're here on a Friday, and your take is that the banana Laffy Taffy might be the best flavor?
Yes.
Egregious. Egregiously
bad. Also,
the
apple one.
The only
one
that might be worse is
the green apple one is good, too.
Green apple? No, I'm with you on the green apple. That's different.
They have vanilla Laffy Taffys?
Gross.
That sounds disgusting.
That's not good either.
That's what I said. That's the only one that might be worse.
Yellow flavor, which is banana, is not great on the Laffy Taffy. That's all. That's all we're saying.
One person on the text line agrees with you. Says from the 660, banana Laffy Taffy is the best one.
Really?
A lot of people. Huh.
Then the other person said, super wrong take there, Drew.
Both sides of the spectrum here.
The text line, always offering. You can find somebody who agrees with you on the text
usually,
line.
Usually, yeah. You
can find somebody.
That's one person, yes.
We like to take this as a majority.
As we figured
everybody
out.
Everybody vote, is it a bad Laffy Taffy on the text line at 913-586-7965. Then we can count them up and decide.
As we've figured over the years on the text line, way easier to find people to disagree with you than agree with you. And that just is the story of life, I think. But the text line
said,
definitely
what
is
an abhorrent opinion. Like, jeez, at all.
He also said banana runts is the worst one. No, the banana runts is also the worst one.
I haven't had the runts in a long time. But yeah, the banana flavor was terrible in that as well. I'm with you.
Man, there's a lot of people agreeing with this.
What other stuff that's banana flavored do you really eat that's not an actual, like, real banana?
I mean,
like, runts, Laffy Taffy.
What else?
I think ice cream other than that.
I haven't had a banana ice cream. I'll just have a banana with, like, a banana, you know, like a split.
I haven't had a banana ice cream in a long time. Can't speak to that.
What else is banana?
And that also feels like it has real banana in it. Mm-hmm. It's not just like banana essence of banana or whatever.
Someone says banana was the color of Joe Burrow's Andrew's hair last summer. That's true.
Correct.
That's true.
That is right.
No more remnants of that. Your profile photo still is that, isn't there?
The profile, the profile is still that. I've kept it. That there hasn't been a picture that I've deemed good enough in that case.
When people argue free speech, these are the kind of things we're talking about. Drew's allowed free speech.
But you can get
to talk about it, but we are allowed. It doesn't stop the consequences, Drew, of saying banana is the best Laffy Taffy.
Shout out to this person.
You know?
I agree 100% with Drew for the first time ever. Thank you. I'm glad I can be here.
It is a really split
banana starburst
opinion.
Is that the yellow?
That's not banana flavored. The yellow's not banana flavored.
Correct.
It's a lemon. Exactly. Yeah, it's not a banana flavor. I wouldn't mind trying a banana flavored starburst and see if they can't pull that one off, though. You know,
I've never seen a banana jelly bean or starburst. I haven't had any of those.
No. I'm not a jelly bean guy, though.
I think that would have to be like a jelly belly. The only time I have jelly beans is like the starburst ones around Easter. Like, I don't think it's not an every time of year consumption candy, but like, you know, it occasionally hits the rotation.
So it says, good take, Drew. You don't see them selling full bags of only green, pink, and grape. You only see individual of banana
variety.
There's
a whole bag of Starburst called All Reds.
Which is the best, by the way. The Fave Reds.
Yeah.
It's called
too.
Fave Reds. And the Fave Reds,
the red Starburst is very good.
The pink Starburst is top notch.
Have you guys also
and the tropical orange ones?
Have you guys mixed the like if you eat a red one and then you pop a yellow one in as well and you eat them both at the same time?
No, I'm not like a 12-year-old.
Oh, that is
I'm
divine
good.
Experience. Very good.
He was probably a big suicide guy at the fountain, you know.
Oh, the mix.
You know,
yeah, I don't mix all the sodas together.
Absolutely not.
Is that not what you guys called it when you mixed
all
the sodas?
No, I knew what you meant when we were based on the topic, but I didn't know that's what people called that.
What did everyone else call it? I thought that's what everyone called it.
I don't know. I don't know.
Drew, did you guys have a name for that when you mixed all the sodas together?
I know what you're talking about. I don't remember what we called it, though. I don't remember.
Now Kramer's just texting us to not eat candy at all. Can't all be fit
don't
like
eat
you,
candy.
Kramer. You
jeez.
Know?
We all make bad decisions. Some of us, you know, eat candy. Some of us are Raiders and Cardinals fans, man. It happens, right, Kramer?
Don't judge us for our worst.
That's right.
You know?
All right.
Judge us at our best.
Up next, let's talk some Royals baseball. Jake Eisenberg of the Royals will be, of course, on the call throughout the weekend as the Royals take on the Tigers. Plus, I'm guessing he's going to bring up something that happened last night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
That's next. Back here on Cody and Gold, we're just getting started on a Friday. Coming up in about 12 minutes or so, we'll talk a bit more about the stadium front. I know we've talked about it a ton and everybody's just trying to get to the end of this, but now we're about to get to a crucial week or two in the state of Missouri starting on Monday, their special session. Jonathan Katz from Fox 4 was on with CDOT yesterday. I want to play a couple things he had to say, including what could happen for the Chiefs. We know so much is discussed about the Royals, but what's the potential outlook on the Chiefs end? Could it involve a ballot in November even? So that's coming up in just a bit. But let's talk some Royals baseball with our guy, Jake Eisenberg. You'll hear him throughout the weekend as the Royals welcome in the Tigers and the games right here on 96.5 The Fan. I happened to see Jake Eisenberg last night. We were both at the See You in the Major Leagues event out at Top Golf, a great foundation and program that they have here in Kansas City. And Jake, it was a great night, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, we had a blast. It was great to see you and Dusty Likens and Bob Fesco and so many other people were there, and the students that are part of that See You in the Major Leagues Foundation program. I mean, what an incredible event. Highly worth, like, learning about it and supporting it, led by Dayton Moore and Matthew Folks. And, yeah, we had a great time. And I think the night ended on a pretty fun note, wouldn't you say, Alex?
Yeah, it was great. There was a celebrity long drive challenge where we had to use clubs that were meant for, like, 8-year-olds, I would say, right?
Is that and you
right?
won?
I did not win.
No, neither of us win. That honor went to Rustin Dodd of the Athletic. But yeah. I will say two things. I'll say first and foremost that at least, like, I won't speak for you, Alex,
okay.
You know, as somebody who's got his name on a show, but at least for me, that word celebrity was doing a lot of heavy lifting, but it was still it was still an honor to be a part of it. But, yeah, they had us all kind of line up and take a drive with a junior golf club. And I'll say one thing, like, there's some chirping going around, and we all want to do well, even knowing that this is kind of just like a fun, random thing that no one's really supposed to be good at. And I would like to say, like, no one's supposed to be good at, and it's okay, Alex, that you weren't. Because you're not supposed to be.
How bad was he at this, Jake?
Look, the winner, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I left feeling proud that, you know, among Alex's many talents and all the great things that he does in the world, that I left knowing that there is at least one thing in this universe that I am better than Alex at, and that is hitting a drive with a junior-sized golf club.
Yeah, so here's the thing. The secret with this one, though, Jake, is I'm actually glad it was with a junior club. I have an excuse, because if it was a normal club, it still might not have been much better, you know? So I feel like I at least had an excuse. The longest drive, for the record, they were junior clubs. Like, the taller you were, I do think, and Jake can probably agree with this, the taller you were, the tougher it was. I mean, you had to really, like, get down low and, like,
you needed to get in the knees.
Rustin drove it, I think, 140 with this junior club. So that was, just to give you an idea, I think I drove it like 45. I don't know. Jake, what did you do? 90?
I did whatever was more than you.
Was yours the worst?
No. The worst was actually I don't want to call it the wrong person. Maybe Jeffrey Chedia? I can't remember.
Let's put it this way. Alex's went a certain distance because we're on the second level of the place and, like, gravity and
rolls a little.
We all come
so
on.
It had to fall off the cliff and then roll a little bit. I don't know. I think mine went like 117 or something like that. The point is, though, it was a great time.
It was
a great event. Just really happy to be out there and support that program.
I think the only other thing we need an opinion on you from, other than the Royals' opinions we're getting ready to get, is if artificial banana flavor is good or not.
Artificial banana flavor? No, you can miss me with that. Give me the real banana.
Yeah, see?
Because we were saying that the banana Laffy Taffy is a terrible flavor.
No. I mean, I'm not entering the Laffy Taffy world to begin with, but, like, artificial banana flavor, really any kind of, like, true artificial fruit flavor, like, you can taste the artificialness of it, and I'm out on that.
See, he gets it. That's the point.
We're talking to Jake Eisenberg. It is a big weekend, it feels like, out at Kauffman. I know it's still May. We're about to turn the calendar to June. And I'm not saying that, oh my gosh, the division is going to be decided this weekend necessarily. But this one does feel big considering how great the Tigers have played. Obviously, a chance to really, you know, kind of shift the narrative and how you're feeling about the Royals based off of a couple games this weekend.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I will push back once again. Every game counts the same as all the other games. But then again, there is, you know, a weighted sense to a lot of these in-division games, whether it's the Tigers, Twins, Guardians, even the White Sox or the Royals have coming up next week on the road trip. And any time you face the team that you're chasing in the division, yeah, winning is imperative. And I think there is a chance this weekend to sort of shift the narrative a little bit that the Tigers are so far out in front and it's the Tigers and everyone else that, like, you know, the Royals are right in this too. And I remember when we were in Detroit earlier this season, you know, those games did not go the way that the Royals wanted, but they did beat Tarek Skubal on Sunday to avoid the four-game sweep. Skubal's going to pitch tomorrow night. At least that's what he's lined up for. And I think that there's a chance for the Royals to make some noise this weekend in a way that changes maybe some of the conversation around what has been, by the way, and this has been glossed over nationally, I think, the hardest division in baseball. You've got four teams that already have 30 wins this season in the American League Central. And as of a couple of days ago, they occupied four playoff spots, the division leader and then all three wildcard spots. This is not a cakewalk, easy one-team division. This has been a gauntlet so far, and it figures to be the rest of the way.
I'd have to check again, but I mean, as of yesterday, they had faced more teams above 500 than any other team in baseball, the Royals, that being, Jake. But I mean, it's hard because I think that they're a winning team. I had said earlier this week, I actually think this is a more talented team than last year's team at this same time last year, but they're just performing worse. But at some point, I always worry about the, like, it getting in your head about the offensive issues and the performance and the kind of pressure you're putting on the pitching staff. Because somebody earlier was like, hey, I'd like to see more out of Noah Cameron because I don't think he's had a lot of stressful innings. I'm like, what do you mean stressful innings? Every day he goes out there, he feels like he's got to go six scoreless. And I think the rest of the pitching staff kind of feels that way right now.
Yeah, as far as the offense is concerned, I mean, first of all, I think I agree. I think this team is more talented at this point of the season than the 2024 team was at this point of the season. Both teams had similar winning records. That's worth pointing out, too. I think really the biggest difference this season, and we've talked about it, is just that the power has not quite been there the same way that it was last year. The home run ball hasn't been there. And we saw this, you know, happen the other night against the Reds. You know, they hit three solo home runs and took a 3-2 lead. And when you can take one swing and put a run on the board, that makes a big difference. And when you're the Royals and you've hit the fewest home runs in the sport, sure, some of that is the weather. Sure, some of that is the ballpark. But, you know, when teams come to your place, they're playing in the same conditions that you are, and that's the missing ingredient right now. The missing ingredient is that, well, nobody on this team, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think has 10 home runs yet, unless Vinny eclipsed the 10 home run mark while I wasn't paying attention. And that's been something that, you know, the Royals would love to have a little bit more of, certainly from Bobby, from Salvi, from Vinny. Those are your three biggest home run hitters last year. And that hasn't happened quite yet.
Cody mentioned Noah Cameron. He's obviously been incredible, and it's kind of created a good problem to have with, you know, Lugo coming back from the IR or IL, I should say. Cole Reagan's maybe coming back soon as well. What do you think ultimately happens there? He's pitching well enough, clearly, to not get sent down, but also there's a bit of a numbers crunch here.
Yeah, man, what a great problem to have, right? And I think that's like what every team's dream is that the pitcher that you're relying on to be your, you know, number six depth starter comes up when need be and pitches to a degree where you're like, maybe this guy should stick around. And I think Noah Cameron has absolutely made the case that he should stick around. And I'll echo something that I heard Vern talking about the other night, and he was echoing something that Ned Yost used to say all the time, that baseball has a way of making these decisions for you before you have to really worry about them. And I, you know, for whatever reason, that feels like it's going to be the case where something will happen here or there, and that'll determine ultimately what the Royals' rotation looks like going forward. It's also worth, you know, looking into the fact that the Royals have a bunch of off days coming up in the month of June. I think the Royals are off every Monday in the month of June, which is a neat kind of quirk in the schedule this year. And so the Royals have a chance to get some guys an extra day, reset the rotation. It remains to be seen, you know, with Seth Lugo and Cole Reagan. Seth Lugo's coming off the injured list tonight. At least that's the plan. You know, hopefully he comes back and hits the ground running. Hopefully Cole Reagan's, assuming he makes a rehab start this weekend and then comes back during the road trip, hopefully he hits the ground running too. That's not necessarily a foregone conclusion because you never really know what's going to happen. But I do think that one way or another, assuming everybody is healthy, Noah Cameron deserves to be very much in the mix at the big league level.
And your time of being on both sides of this now, the major league level and the AAA level, how do you see the conversations going differently when you got a player of Jack Caglione's status, in the sense that, like, you were covering minor league baseball when Bobby Wood Jr. is coming up. Now you're on the Caglione side. What are the conversations on either side as far as, are the major league players talking about a player like this or anticipating a debut like this? Is it all on the minor league side and on, like, our side, the talk side? How do you see, like, players coming up from that perspective? I'm curious because you've seen both sides.
I mean, I think that the excitement is probably 80% on the fan side, and deservedly so, don't get me wrong. I think that the players in the clubhouse are talking about Jack Caglione probably a little bit internally and also supporting him. Like Jack said when he got to Omaha the other day, you know, he got texts from Bobby and Vinny immediately. Like, they are reaching down to the organization and to the players in the organization and helping support them in the way that they were supported or hope they were supported when it was their turn to come up. I think that speaks just to the level of camaraderie and the level of connectedness that the organization has top to bottom. But I think the players are also talking about Jack Caglione when they're asked about Jack Caglione.
Sure.
You know, John Ray made his major league debut the other day, and Jeff Passan happened to be in town, and he was writing about Caglione. I'm sure you guys read the article, but, like, Ray's quoted in the article talking about Jack Caglione because he's, you know, played with him and was asked about him as any, you know, major league player could be asked about him. As far as what I see from both sides of it, yeah, I remember when Bobby Witt Jr. made his AAA debut, and there was a lot of clamor of, hey, when's he coming up in the big leagues? When's he coming up in the big leagues? And the truth was, I think we had a pretty good understanding at that point in the 2021 season that Bobby was going to be in AAA through the end of the year, that there was not necessarily a situation that made sense for Bobby to make his major league debut toward the tail end of 2021. I know there was talk that year of him making the team out of spring training, and then we remembered, oh, this is a high school draft pick who hasn't played one full season of affiliated professional baseball, that is still learning how to be a human being in addition to being a superstar baseball player. And I think you look back and you say, you know what, that level, that year of development in AA and AAA, man, has that panned out to an incredible degree. And I think it's similar with Jack Caglione. The big difference is that Cags came out of a big-time college program that has a lot of resources and a lot of high-level experience. But still, that gap between college pitching and college performance and professional performance, AA and AAA, that is a monstrous chasm of performance and level that Cags is learning about now that he's gotten to the AAA level. If the gap between AA and AAA is like the gap between Earth and Mars, the gap between AAA and the big leagues is basically Mars to Neptune. That's what we're talking about in terms of pitchability and the way that guys get attacked as hitters. And so there's a ton of value in developing as a hitter at the AAA level right now, seeing pitchers for a second time, figuring out how to make those adjustments, also working defensively too. I know Rusty Kuntz has been in town working with Jack in the outfield. He continues to play first base as well. That's also a massive element to this, and I fully believe that the Royals are poised and ready to bring up Jack Caglione when they believe that he can not only contribute to this Royals team, but contribute to this Royals team for years to come and hit the ground running. And JJ has said that you don't necessarily want to bring a guy up to be a quote-unquote savior. You want to bring him up to gel within the team and help elevate a team that is already on the rise. And right now the Royals are a contending team. I'm not saying they don't need Jack Caglione. I think Jack can do wonders in Kansas City and will do wonders in Kansas City. I just think that letting that you know, thing bake in the oven, so to speak, for a little bit, let it cook a little bit more, let it solidify, I think you're going to get a much more fully reformed, you know, ready to hit the ground running player in Jack Caglione than necessarily forcing the issue. And I remember those conversations around Bobby and Nick Prado and MJ Melendez when they all came up together. I think that AAA seasoning is really worth a lot more than people realize.
I'm driving up to Omaha to watch Cags today and tomorrow. The restaurant you recommended last week, Block 16, is that what you said? That's the burger place?
Yeah, Block 16 okay. Is in downtown Omaha. So it's about 20-ish minutes from the ballpark down in Papillion. But yeah, definitely make your way down there. Get a burger. They have a special every day that they put out on social media, on Twitter or Instagram or whatever. Check that out, because it's usually something like pretty outrageous to like a delicious degree. But yeah, you can't go wrong with that spot.
All right, that's the plan. I'm going to definitely check that out this weekend. Jake, appreciate it, man. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll check in next week.
All right, sounds good, guys. Take care.
There you go. That's Jake Eisenberg, who'll be on the call throughout the weekend right here on 96.5 The Fan. Yeah, I know. I think somebody recommended Dusty go there in the morning when he was telling us. So that's like
multiple people
down.
They've
said,
good spot, I guess.
I think, and yeah, the ballpark's not in downtown, but we're staying downtown, so I'm gonna have to check this out. He's right. There is already a Twitter post from them. Now, this one I can't eat because I can't do the seafood or the shellfish, but you would probably love this. It says butter poached lobster and shrimp on a toasty croissant with candy roasted tomato and love. It all says it's free if your name is Shane Gillis.
Oh, nice.
He tagged in.
He must be in town.
I don't know. Is he in town?
Is it weird that since multiple people have told us that Vinny sounds like Shane Gillis,
I know, man.
When he's in town in Kansas City, I somehow want to try to like pair them up and have them say similar
is he in
sentences.
Omaha? Is Shane Gillis in Omaha?
He's coming to Kansas City.
Oh, he actually is.
He
is in Omaha tonight.
Yeah.
Oh.
He is in Omaha tonight.
So it's free for Shane Gillis.
So, yeah.
Isn't he coming to town in like a week?
No, I don't know if it's not a week. July 19th.
July 19th.
Yeah, Shane Gillis, July 19th. We got to find out, are the Royals in town? If so, we need to get Vinny there as well.
Can we just get him like backstage? I just want them to do like a couple of lines
who's
each.
Thinking about who's in town.
See if they sound as similar as people say.
It's Big Slick this weekend at the K too.
Yeah, it is.
And so there's a lot of celebrities. Rob Riggle was in the studio yesterday talking
about.
That's
not the kind of celebrity I'm looking for. I'm thinking bigger than that.
I think the Gear might be around.
You think he's going to be in town?
The Gear might be around. The Gear might be around.
Hey, I don't know right now.
The Gear could be in town.
I have a CAG shirt.
For the Gear?
I have, no, just if there is a single person, a single listener that sees the Gear this weekend.
Take a photo.
I don't know what it is from my personal life I will give you, but I promise you personally something. The first person who can send me a video.
The Gear.
Of them being like, the Gear? One of the Chiefs' best defensive ends of all time? How are you feeling after the plane crash? Are you safe? If you say those three things to the Gear,
man, fully recovered, you know.
Yeah. If you say those three things to the Gear, I'll get you something. I mean, just without even question, he's been at every single. He's almost always a Big Slick, isn't he? Hasn't he posted multiple
I'm not
photos?
Sure.
There?
I don't know much about the Gear. Just what we know about the Gear is what we know based on social media.
One of the Chiefs' greatest defensive ends of all time.
Yeah, man.
That's all I know. The Gear.
You don't say that lightly. You know, there are a lot of Chiefs great defensive ends. We don't come across that lightly for the Gear.
Yeah, some people think of Eric Hicks. Some people think of Chris Jones. Some people think of Tom Bolley. No, others
think of
the Gear.
I think it's
one
of the number one rated. I think he hosts one of the number one rated podcasts on the planet as well, based on what I heard.
I don't know, man.
Oh.
I don't know.
So
you're
he's a public figure.
You're getting analysis from an all-time great then.
Yeah.
The Gear.
Yeah, yeah. So if you guys see the Gear this weekend,
let us know.
You get a photo with the Gear. Oh, my goodness. Oh. What a treat
look
for you.
Look at you.
Paul Rudd, get the hell out of here. Trying to get a photo with the Gear this weekend is what you should be aiming for.
They got a great
Heidi
lineup.
Heidi Gardner, no thank you. Martin Starr, not interested.
They got a great lineup of celebrities showing up for Big Slick again. Obviously, it does amazing things for Children's Mercy here, and the amount of money they raise is simply incredible. But yeah, the Gear might be a headliner, too. You never know.
Yeah, if you happen to come in contact with Paul Rudd, ask, hey, Paul, I don't want to see you. Do you know if the Gear's here? I start asking celebrities if they know where the Gear is.
Our listeners that have been with us for a bit know the Gear.
Imagine if I went this weekend to Big Slick and I just like, I took my credential and I went down there and then I got a video of me asking like Adam Scott if he's seen the Gear.
I'd be like, what?
I'm never going to be allowed back ever again. This is like a truly remarkable event we do in Kansas City.
Yeah.
With a ton of super awesome celebrities that come and help, and it's like a Kansas City based thing, and it's all very cool, and it's run by the Kansas City people, just like the idea that
incredible work.
I'm asking Travis Kelce if he knows about one of the Chiefs' best defensive ends, Johnny Knoxville. These are all the people who are like really going to be there this week.
Yeah.
Oh, but also the Gear. You know, we think
it would conceivably be hilarious if you ask Travis Kelce if he knows where Chiefs all time great Troy
one of the best pass rushers of his era.
Like
what? That's what it says.
When did he play again? In the 90s?
With Eric Hicks, you know.
No, that's right. That's right.
I don't remember when he suggested he played, but
I think it was that same time period because we looked up the numbers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Boy, it was really something. Hey, Drew, before we get to some candidates in the NFL who are cutting trade candidates, can I ask you? I've given you a hard time about the Pacers, and I've yet to see a photo of you in Pacers gear
at a Pacers
game.
So my parents don't have me at a Pacers game, unfortunately. They do have me in Pacers gear when I was a little kid. I got my Jalen Rose pinstripe jersey on.
But if
it
you
gets,
were in
it
any
gets
other
dicier
gear,
and dicier.
Ah, dude,
it gets dicier
like,
and dicier.
It becomes
it?
Less believable by the second.
You guys
than
are
Drew.
Sad.
was actually a Pacers fan.
You guys
can
sad.
I ask you what the hell's wrong with everyone else in Indianapolis? This is the second time in a calendar year I have had to ask you about Greg Doyle, who covers sports in Indianapolis. The first one, if you guys don't remember, you're like, boy, that name sounds kind of familiar. It's when he had this interaction with Caitlin Clark.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
He's doing the hard
I hands. Like that you're here. I like yeah, that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll be able to get along just fine. So.
Okay, so generally horrible, horrible.
Yeah.
He then yesterday, after the Pacers lost the game, the Knicks kept the series alive, made it 3-2.
Unfortunately,
made it a little bit interesting on that end. Pascal Siakam was talking after the game about how things went wrong. And he's getting asked about, like, hey, what do you think happened? And if you can't hear quite what Greg Doyle is, he'll go in there in a little bit about Siakam admitting that they got outplayed.
Nah, they played harder than us, I think. I think they played harder than us. You know, loose balls, like rebounds, like all that. We got to be able to win that battle.
Pascal, can you make sense of it for those of us who don't play this game at this level? Like, you know what was a mistake, and you're saying they played harder than you guys. You didn't fight them hard enough. How is that possible?
What do you mean?
How is it possible to not fight hard enough in game?
What are you talking about? They played harder than us. It's okay. We played hard, but they played harder. What's your point? I don't get it.
My point is, you're saying you guys got out fought, and I'm saying
that happens in the game, though. That's basketball.
In game five, in the playoffs?
You're good. You're good, bro. You're looking for something. I know. But damn. No. But I'm telling you, though. I told you. What else do you want me to tell you?
Oh my
and then
God!
He left out the part. He left out the part where he continued. He's like, and he asked his PR guy. He's like, who is this guy?
Oh yeah, it's maybe that's here at the end.
Well, why don't you tell me how? That's all I'm asking.
Well, what about you telling me? So go ahead. Who's this guy? Who's this guy?
Dude, what's this guy's problem? Why does he always make things so awkward? Does he just have no social skills?
I don't know. His
is it like a social skills thing?
Well, so Greg he's a really good writer. A lot of his articles.
I think it makes me uncomfortable.
And stuff is good. I think, you know, he's had this happen a couple times. I think just in general, it hasn't been to the level, the degree of the Caitlin Clark situation, the Pascal Siakam situation. But I think, I mean, he's really good at what he does, but I think his reputation is that it's not, I don't know. I mean, certain situations like this, these are cringeworthy, but it's just awkward. You know, I don't know if that's the best way to describe it. I've met him one time. He was nice.
Didn't he briefly get banned from covering the Fever?
He got suspended for a little bit.
You think he'll get suspended from covering the Pacers the rest of the postseason?
No.
Or they're just going to let this one live?
No, but
he shouldn't get suspended for this.
He didn't ask anything he's not allowed to ask. It's just so, like, is he genuinely does not understand how the sport works? I guess that's the other part of the question.
Like, I think he
But
really,
how do you get a place? Like, sometimes people, like, fight harder for a rebound.
Especially
when they're down 3-1 in the series in which they face elimination and we don't.
Well, like what Pascal said, I think he wanted Pascal to say, he wanted him to give him something, and Pascal's answer wasn't good enough for Greg, so he asked, you know, but how? Like, tell me how. And it just, you know, it. You can only ask a player, I feel like, so many times the same question before they're like, man, I just told you, like, you get out.
This one in general, you know? I don't like awkward yet. This one is.
I don't think this one's as bad.
This one's not as, like, this one I don't have as big of a problem with. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, the reporter was
buried,
pushing the player.
Though, on social media,
and, because of the Caitlin Clark thing before, where that was obviously ridiculous.
It's like, just what are you going for? He's like, what? I know you're searching for something, but like, I don't know. I don't understand what it is.
Every now and then we get a couple of these, you know, throughout the year, whether it's football players or whether it's in basketball as well, where like Kevin Durant in particular is on social media. So he calls out people all the time.
In fairness, like, I actually think that's fair. I think sometimes like you text into the text line and you think we're not allowed to respond to you. If you're being rude, we are. And if I say something stupid to an athlete, they're allowed to call me an idiot like that.
Right.
That's fair.
Of course.
They're not allowed to just be, it's not one side of the coin here. Like, you're allowed to be like, what are you talking about? What do you even mean with this? What's the point of this? Now, I'm not saying it needs to be malicious or sought out or just because you're frustrated by a fair question, which I think sometimes happens, but you're allowed to push back. You're not just like forced into a corner.
No, text line is still asking. They say you have more Louisiana Tech stuff than Pacers gear. Is that
I don't
true?
Have any. I don't have any Louisiana Tech Bulldog stuff, unfortunately. But I've got to
be less Bulldogs. Get a new mascot. Like minor league football or minor league baseball.
I've got a few.
If you're a Bulldog, change it. Unless you're Georgia.
what? I mean, what? Like the
Louisiana Tech shouldn't be the Bulldogs. They should be something like the. They should be way cooler. Like, you know, the teams in Louisiana, like the Raging Cajuns, should be something else.
That name is an all. That is an all-time team name.
Be like a minor league baseball team. Sell some merch. If I need Bulldog gear, there's like 87 other teams that are the Bulldogs.
I'm really disappointed that they don't have any photos of me at Pacer games, because I have been to.
It didn't happen. You know how this works. No photos didn't happen.
It is amazing because
I bet I can find a photo of Alex at a Chiefs game when he was a kid.
Because out of all the events that I've been to in my life, I've been to more Pacers. I've been to probably, if I had to guess, at least 70 Pacers.
So are you
games.
A bigger Pacers fan than Bengals fan?
Oh, absolutely not. I'm a bigger.
Absolutely.
If there is one team, if you made me cheer for one team the rest of my life and I couldn't cheer for anybody else, I had to be neutral, it's the Bengals.
That's sad.
I'm curious to see what you, Cody, I'm curious because you know, you've covered the Royals, you're a baseball guy.
Yeah.
If you had to pick one team to cheer for, like if you.
For the rest of my life?
Chiefs or the Royals, like you had to be neutral in the NFL. Or neutral in baseball.
So I still get to watch the sports, but I only get to cheer for one?
Of course. Are you cheering for the Royals?
I would cheer for the Royals.
Okay.
Alex would cheer for the Chiefs.
I was going to say, I was curious.
Absolutely.
But also, like, I covered
one team from your fandom.
I covered the Royals full-time for 1 year. I covered the Chiefs full-time for, like, 4 years. And this is, like, the weird part about the industry is that, like, it's hard to be a fan all the time and be in this job sometimes.
100%.
It sucks some of the fan out of you. So, like, some of that kind of, like...
Agreed.
...shifts over the years, too. It's weird.
Yeah.
I try not to let it, but sometimes it does. Someone says they're going straight to the bosses if we're meeting them on the text line. Easy there. That threat feels too real.
Up next, we will talk about some of the top trade and cut candidates, including a former Chief mention, and we've got another Jack Watch, and one thing that I don't think should be allowed in minor league baseball. I'll explain what it is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Mm-mm. Mm. Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa. Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hat and cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America. We'll be right back.